This is The Peaceful Corner, Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Hello, welcome back to The Peaceful Corner. Hope you guys are doing well. Welcome back once again as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's always wonderful to have you guys here. I hope your week, your day, your month is going beautifully well. And if it's not, I'm so sorry. But guess what? You have hope because it's going to get better. Because look, every day is a great day. Every day is a great day. Because it's the day that the Lord has made. And we should be glad always and rejoice in it. So always have joy. Always remember to choose joy in every situation. Yeah? All right. So today we're going to talk about 1 Samuel. The first Samuel, the first chapter. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to give a brief summary of it. It's such a beautiful story. It's the beginning of the life of Samuel, I will say, and just introduces us to Hannah and Elkanah and Peninnah and her children, and you know, and all that. You know, I'm sure we've heard the story many times, but you know, we're just gonna go over it real quick. You know, it first starts to tell us about Elkanah, who is the husband of Hannah, and you know how he loved her so very much, and you know they were having a bit of trouble having children. And that was the thing that pained Hannah the most. People made fun of her. People mocked her. People said so much things to her. But you know, the funny thing is, the Bible never records that people said anything about Elkanah. And I think it's because Elkanah got a second wife. And when Elkanah got a second wife, Peninnah had children. Peninnah did have children. She was giving birth to children, like, you know, I don't know, she had children, and so, you know, I guess people knew that Hannah was the one that was unable to, you know, be able to give birth to a child, and, you know, they made fun of her, they said so many things about her, and, you know, it pained her, and Elkanah loved Hannah so much, even more than Peninnah, and I think even, but then, you know, if we really think about it, and I know it was probably, like, the culture back then, you know, to be able to have a second wife and whatnot, but I think it probably was also pressure from like family or society that why don't you just get a second wife, you know, so you can at least have an inheritance or children to be able to take your inheritance, because Elkanah was a blessed man, because if he wasn't, I don't think you would have two wives. But he was a blessed man, and you know, we can see that from the sacrifices that they made to God, you know. And so, you know, but he was someone that loved God, and I feel like if you really want to think about it critically, if that's the word, we can look at the fact that he always said to Hannah, like, am I not enough? You know, why are you crying so much? Like, am I as your husband not enough for you? You know, but I was like, if he really loved Hannah, he would have waited with her, you know? And obviously, love means many different things to many different people. Some love is patient, love is kind, love is sacrificial, right? Not everybody can really give that, can sacrifice that much. But genuine love will, you know, and which is why we see that in the life of Jesus Christ, who came to die for us sacrificially, whether or not we were going to believe in him, whether or not we were going to do everything that he said we were supposed to do and honor the Father. It was already predestined that he would come and die for our sins and that we would come to him, you know. So that's an angle to look at it. If you really loved, I mean, he does love her. It's not that if you really love, he does love Hannah. He really did love her, because he would even still do extra for Hannah regardless of the fact that Peninnah was there. And I think that maybe had even allowed Peninnah to be even more hateful towards Hannah and be more, a little more aggressive towards Hannah and saying all sorts of things, that might have caused it, that might have added to it, but you know, because like, well, I'm also your wife, you know, you should do this for me and do this for me, I'm the one that has children for you. And you know, she would even, and let me even quickly go to my Bible real quick, and I think I highlighted some things. Yeah, it says, but to Hannah he would give a double portion because he loved Hannah, but the Lord had given her no children. So he did love Hannah. He most definitely loved her. Whether or not he decided to wait with her or not, you know, is a different like angle. You know, I was just looking at, but he most definitely loved her. Yeah, and it says Hannah, and verse 6, it says Hannah's rival provoked her bitterly to irritate and embarrass her because the Lord had left her childless. So it happened after years, after year after year, whenever she went up to the house of the Lord, Peninnah provoked her, so she wept and would not eat. And then Elkanah's husband said to her, Hannah, why do you cry? Why do you not eat? Why are you sad and discontent? Am I not better than 10 sons? You know? Yeah, so Hannah got up after eating and drinking, you know, and then we'll get to that. But really, Hannah was so provoked. You know, Peninnah was making life hard and miserable for her. You know, it was almost as though, I feel like I lost my train of thought. It was almost as though there was probably a time that Hannah even probably blamed God, because if you see, even in the way that it's written, it says because the Lord had left her childless, because God has not given her a child yet. I'm sure there was a time Hannah may have blamed God, or she might have thought of it, or maybe there are people around her and they may have said, oh, and you go to Shiloh, you pray, you do this, you do that, but you don't even have a child. God has not given you a child, you know. So, but we see what Hannah, you know, not just Hannah, we can see the what they all believed in this family, right? And which is probably why God even chose this family for Samuel to come out of, you know, such a beautiful one. You know, his mother's sacrifices, dad, you know, sacrifice as well to worship God, right? You know, and make sacrifices. It seemed like he did it because of things that he had learned from growing up and all that, you know. And so it talks about how when she went up to Shiloh that year, she'd been going to Shiloh all year after year, but this particular time she went to the temple and she was distressed and she prayed and she wept. And in my version it says she wept in anguish. She wept in anguish. I'm gonna try and pull up a different version real quick. Message translation. So it says every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she would expect to be taunted. Hannah, imagine if you even think about that. Even when she went to Shiloh, instead of people to pray for her and say, God will bless you, God will give you a child, you know, we know it's not easy. We might not understand what you're going through, but we're here for you. We're here to pray with you and encourage you. Rather, she would expect to get taunted in the church by fellow brethren. Well, maybe they didn't call it the church then, but the sanctuary, you get. And I mean, it just should tell us that we must be intentional about how we treat people when they come to the church with their situations, with their problems and their circumstances. We must be kind. It doesn't matter if we don't know what they're going through, but let us be there for them. You can go up to someone and say, I don't know what you're going through right now, but I want to be here for you. I want to help you through it, right? I want to be a shoulder that you can cry on. I might not understand, but I want to help you the best way I can. I want to be able to sit here and listen to you talk about all that you have to talk about, right? And pray with you. These things are important. These things are important. Okay, so let's move on. It says, so Hannah ate, then she put herself together, slipped away quietly, and entered the sanctuary. The priest Eli was on duty at the entrance of God's temple in the customary seat. Crushed in her soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. And then she made a vow. Have you ever cried inconsolably? You know, God forbid that we ever cry inconsolably for any reason in Jesus' name. To cry inconsolably is such a deep level of cry. To the point where it's like when they're telling you sorry, you are going to cry more. You know, when they are saying, oh, it's okay, you just want to even cry even more. wanted to shout even more. You know, it was an inconsolable cry. No amount of hugs and sorry and you know, could do it for Hannah, because she had gone through these things for so long. I mean, it doesn't necessarily tell us how long he was married to Hannah. You know, but I mean, he was married to her long enough for him to get a second wife and for those children to have grown up, you know. But she made a vow to God. She said, "Oh God of the angel armies, if you take a good hard look at my pain, if you will quiet neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I will give him completely, unreservingly to you. I will set him apart for a life of holy discipline." That's such a deep vow to God right there. Such a deep vow to God. Let me read it in another version in the Amplification. It says, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look at my affliction, suffering of your maidservant, and remember and not forget your maidservant, but I will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life. A razor shall never touch his head." I mean, this was a heartfelt cry, a cry of desperation, you know, of like, God, if you know, I'm vowing today that if you just give me this son, if you would just give me this son, I will give him to you for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, I will give him to you if you just can give me. And you know, that took a lot of faith also in her. I feel like it wasn't just desperation for her. You know, that, oh, I just want God, just do this for me. If you do this for me, I'll come and testify, or I'll come and give him back to you. No, it was faith in him, the faith in God, that God, I know that you can still do it. You can still do it. If you just remember me this one time, look up all my sorrows and answer my prayers and give me a son. And she was specific too in her demand. Just give me a son. I will give him back to you. He will be yours. He will be yours for his entire life. As a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, I will never cut his hair. And you know, it was almost as though, like, Hannah didn't know that she was walking. Hannah may have known, but she didn't know that she was walking in... she was working in alignment, in purpose, in destiny. Sometimes it may look like our friends are doing better than us, or they are moving faster than us, but it's not even that. Everybody has their own journey. Everybody has their own process, right? Somebody's win is not even supposed to be where your win is. Your win might be even supposed to be greater than that. Just because somebody is a doctor here does not mean you should also be a doctor in that same thing, or a doctor in your field. Your great position may be something else, right? Hannah was walking in destiny. I don't think she really understood the child that God was going to give her, that first child that she said she was going to give to God. I mean, we may have to do some more research. Maybe God had spoke to Hannah, you know. But I'm sure, maybe, you know, you never know. Some things are not recorded in the Bible for reasons. But, you know, Hannah didn't necessarily know the person that she was about to give birth to. He was going to be the prophet to the nation. He was going to be the one who anointed the king. Like, he wasn't going to be king, but he was anointing the kings. You know, he knew the thing. He knew that he was a gatekeeper, you know, in the spirit for that nation of Israel. You know, she was going to give birth to Samuel. I mean, she was going to give birth to Samuel. This was going to be life-changing. This was going to be the man who anointed David and anointed Saul and did so many other wonderful things, you know. But yeah, she makes this vow to God, and you know, and Eli comes to her. Now, for Eli to come to her and he's watching her pray and he sees her lip moving, but he's not hearing any sound. So imagine the type of, she was praying to God, but nothing was, like, you couldn't even, so honestly, the type of prayer Hannah was praying was like a mad person, but she wasn't even making any sound. But it was a desperate prayer. It was a desperate prayer to God. And he said that she was not making any sound. So she thought she was drunk. And he was like, why would you come here? And honestly, Eli, why? As a priest, why would you come to a woman that is, you know, maybe leaning down? Okay, maybe it was a, like, maybe it has occurred before. But he came to a woman and he was like, ah, must you come here drunk? He demanded to throw, and so I said, throw away your wine. He was like, why would you come here drunk? And I was like, ah, you know, like, what kind of, I know, but Hannah was, you know, even humble. So she said, no, sir. She said, oh, no, sorry. She replied, I have not been drinking wine and or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged. I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. You know, in that moment in time, Hannah could have easily been like, eh, don't you see me praying? Why on earth would you come to me and tell me that I'm drunk? Like, Hannah could have had a different response to Eli, because Eli came in. Eli wasn't even like, oh, you know, how are you? What's going on? You know, are you okay? You know, he just came and said, must you come here and drink? Some people would have given it to him that moment in time. Some people would have gotten angry or annoyed and be like, in my desperation, in my pain, this person has the audacity to come and tell me I was drinking and accuse me of something. You know, but Hannah was a woman of God. She was a woman of faith. She knew her stand and, you know, and what she believed. She knew, you know, she had the character of God inside of her. She believed in God. You know, and I don't want to take too long on this, but, you know, after, you know, she explains to him, he now says, okay, go in peace. May God of Israel grant your request as you have asked him. And then she says, thank you. She exclaimed and she went back and she began to eat and she was no longer sad. Something was different about this Shiloh. Something was different about this time when she went to pray. Something was different, and she left and she was no longer sad. She left and she was no longer sad because she had no more worry. She had no more disbelief that she would get her son. She knew that she would get her son. And then he says that they got up early and they went to worship the Lord once more, and they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel. I've heard that Samuel means asked of God or heard by God. So that's what, you know, Samuel means. But she asked the Lord and he gave her Samuel. And so, you know, Elkanah goes back for Shiloh the next year and he wants to go with her. But, you know, she says that, no, not yet, that she will, you know, she will wait. And until the boy is a little older, she will take him. And she will take a bull, you know. And so then when it's time for him to go the next year, after she's nursed him and, you know, made him, you know, grown a little bit, not to, you know. So she's not taking the baby today to the house of God and just jumping in there. You know, there was wisdom in her, you know, in her thing. Because Even if she had paid that vow to God, it would not have been in the right way. If she had just dropped the child there, you know, it would have been wrong, right? But she knew that she had to nurse him and do, you know, do the necessary things before she go and dropped him at the house of Eli, at the sanctuary, you know. And so when she does that, she goes back and she was like, you know, she brings along a 3-year-old bull for sacrifice in a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli And then she asks him if she remembers him. And he says, I was a woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. He said, I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he granted my request. He says, now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship there. You know, and I think I want to go to a version where I can see they expanded on how she worshipped God a little bit. Yeah, yeah. So after they brought, you know, she didn't come empty-handed. She didn't just come with the son and say, oh, I said that I will bring my son back and this. But she came with extra. She came with a heart full of thanksgiving. You know, it's not even about the gift or the amount of offering you drop, but the intention was there. Even if it was money that she brought, the intention of her thanksgiving was there. She brought extra stuff for sacrifice. You know, she was even bringing her child. And then she thanked God. It says, Hannah said, oh, my Lord, as surely as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood beside you here praying to the Lord for this child. I prayed and the Lord has granted me my request, which I asked of him. Therefore, I have so dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, I dedicate him to the Lord to worship here. You know, it's so amazing all that is happening here. I think where Hannah really, okay, yeah, it's in chapter 2, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 2. I apologize. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices and triumphs in the Lord. My horn strength is lifted up in the Lord. My mouth has opened wide to speak boldly against my enemies, because I rejoice in my salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Don't go on boasting so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but those who have stumbled equip themselves with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out of bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren woman gives birth to 7, but she who has many children withers away. The Lord puts to death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up from the grave. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts up the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with noble and inherit a seat of honor and glory. For the pillar of the earth are the Lord's, and he sets the land on them. He guards the feet of his godly faithful ones, but the wicked ones are silenced and perished in darkness. For a man shall not prevail by might. The adversaries of the Lord will be broken to pieces. He will thunder against them in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Elkanah and his wife Hannah returned to Ramah to his house, but the child Samuel served the Lord under the guidance of Eli. Just see this heartfelt thanksgiving to God. Thanks be to the God who has lifted me. Though people were mocking me all this time, I can now stand and shout hallelujah because I have my own child. It was a heartfelt thanksgiving. And there's so much we can learn from Hannah and Elkanah and Penina, all of them, and Eli. There's so much we can pick out of here. But I would just encourage us to go back and read this, you know, take some notes. And I hope you've enjoyed this short but long Bible study session on first Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. Not the other way, though. We didn't finish chapter 2, and I'm sure we'll come back to it. But let's take examples from the life of Hannah and her devotion to God and the sacrifice that she made and how she prayed, and you know, the whole, all the things that may have happened to her and her husband. You know, it's just so much to learn from. We just thank God for God, because even in this we can see how Jesus is shown, even in this story, you know, the sacrificial love, the fact that people were making fun of we can see it in our own life, the fact that some people make fun of us, you know, for even being children of God, where they can't see the fruit of it, right? But this is why we must pray. I must hold on to God. And we will get there by His grace. And we will get there by His grace. Thank you all for joining us. Love you very much. Goodbye.